The Jupiter site is located at the mouth of the Loxahatchee River. This is an important river in terms of being a conduit, a transportation conduit from the coast eventually to the Everglades and also to Lake Okeechobee. And what's important about this area is that, amazingly enough, many of the site components have actually been preserved. Part of it is on the Jupiter Lighthouse property on the north side of the river inlet. And it is here that there are well-preserved archaic and formative period midden deposits. This is a shell midden that goes back to about 1500 BC. And recent archaeological excavations here have determined that the site has actually been occupied right up to the European contact period. We've actually done a tremendous amount of work here in the last several years and determined, for example, that the hill, the mound of which the lighthouse is built on, long thought to be a constructed Indian mound, is in reality a natural formation. It's actually a sand dune with a hill. And we were able to confirm that through the excavation work that we did. And we now know that much of the site on the north side has been intensely disturbed, not only by the construction of the lighthouse, but by the Coast Guard base that had been built there in the early 20th century, part of a life-saving station. There were a number of buildings, and there continue to be a lot of disturbances on the site. And as a result of that work, they have actually redistributed much of the midden, although deeper horizons are preserved. And it's here that we've been able to find the evidence of the earliest occupation, including fiber-tempered pottery, which is the first ceramic type that has been recorded in South Florida. Earliest in terms of going back to at least to 1000 BC. This is a habitation site, but it's also a mortuary site. There are parts of the site that actually do include human remains. We're very respectful of those areas. When we know where they're at, some of them we do have recorded. There are other sites or portions of it that are not really well known. But we try to leave these human remains intact, and if they're uncovered during recent renovations, we reinter them in the same location if possible. This is a really wonderful example of a record of the environmental changes in the Loxahatchee, because this is very well preserved in terms of not only the shell remains but also of animal bones. And it's here that we can actually look at the species and determine exactly what habitats were being exploited by prehistoric people. This has been going on through the last 2,500 years. And not surprisingly, on both sides of the Loxahatchee, there are tremendous midden deposits, most of them now destroyed as a result of modern development and dredging. But it's here that you can experience the site firsthand. And it is here that you can go into the Interpretive Center and actually see many of the objects and the artifacts and things that have been uncovered as a result of the archaeological work that's been done in the last 10 years, as well as accidental discoveries going back to the 19th century. You have a great sense of how these people were well adapted to their environment. This was a maritime culture, in a sense, a canoe culture. And if they couldn't get there by canoe, if they couldn't get there by water, they probably didn't go. Everything was linked through this water corridor. It was the ancient highway of that time. And it is here that we can actually get an understanding of fishing technology through these weights that have been found, anchoring nets. We know that they were using a net technology probably right at the Jupiter Inlet, where there was a very narrow inlet. They could actually have maximum efficiency in recovering various kinds of fish species, different times of the day based on tides. And this is why the Loxahatchee River is such a focal point, because it is not only a transportation corridor, but a strategic location for recovering various kinds of animals and plants. It maximizes a large number of environments. They include, of course, the saltwater environment of the Atlantic, the estuarine environment right at the inlet, the freshwater of the Loxahatchee River, the uplands of the pines and the oak hammocks, as well as the swamps and freshwater areas of the Everglades that are several miles to the west. So in that sense, living here meant you had access to all of these kinds of environments and allowed you to have a choice of strategies for recovering subsistence. The technology here is one based on adaptation to the land and sea. Lithic artifacts are rare because there was no chert, there was no flint. Tools were made out of limestone or coral, bone and shell. And that's why we actually uncover a large assemblage of these well-preserved artifacts that indicate just how well-suited this environment is for allowing people to live here in a very successful way. Things remained relatively unmolested until the 17th century with the Europeans that began to arrive in this area. There were tremendous changes. The native populations began to really degrade in terms of responses to diseases, a lack of immunity to things like smallpox, measles, that sort of thing. And eventually the populations had declined to the point that instead of thousands of people living in this area, they were reduced to only several hundred by the 18th century. We know from one specific account in 1696, I believe, with Jonathan Dickinson, who was shipwrecked near here, we know that he was actually taken to the village of the chief of the Hobe, which we believe that village was actually on the other side of Jupiter Inlet in what's now known as the Dubois Mound. And through those wonderful accounts, we get an insight to how that last remnant of native culture was surviving in southeast Florida and eventually became extinct.